Thank you, David. And again, thank all of you for being here this morning. It is a great day, and we're grateful unto God for His wonderful, wonderful blessings. David, I appreciate you having us stand up and sing. I think that's great. And I think it's wonderful because when you're preaching, you don't have to worry so much about people getting tired of sitting. And I learned a long time ago that the mind cannot comprehend any more than the seat can endure. And so anyway, we'll not try to keep you too long this morning. But we are glad you're here, and we hope and trust that the spirit of Christmas will prevail not only during this season, but throughout your life. Someone asked me this morning, did I have a good Christmas? And yes, I can tell you that I did. But every day really is Christmas. It honestly is to me. Because I love life, and I thank God who gives me life, and I'm thankful unto the one who sustains my life. You know, there's so many people in our world who are grouchy. Don't look at your mate. But they are. But you notice during the Christmas season that everybody is happy and they're excited and they're enthusiastic about life and they're as kind as you could ever imagine. I heard about a grouchy man one time who walked into a cafe and sitting down, he couldn't find on the menu exactly what he was hungry for. Well, 10 minutes passed and still no one had waited on him. You ever had that experience? Finally, he yelled out at the waitress who was walking by, "Hey, do you serve crabs in here?" And she said, "Yes, have a seat. I'll serve you in a moment." Well, believe it or not, there are some people that are crabby and unthankful and grouchy with everybody in this world. But you know what? I've come to believe that life is so temporary that we know all possess the Spirit of Christ every day, wherever we are. You and I make decisions every day. You probably have already made some decisions this morning. And you will make decisions regarding right or wrong. And it's amazing sometimes how we predicate our decisions. What are your decisions based upon? Never, let me suggest that you do this, never ever make permanent decisions based upon temporary things. You know, sometimes things happen to us in life that are really temporary, but we predicate our decisions upon temporary things. But I have learned in life that many, many things are temporal in nature. They are temporary. They are. In the book of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, the apostle Paul said, "For the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are the things that are eternal." Now they are. Sometimes we're not disciplined enough, however, to be able to make the right decisions. But discipline is simply choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you want most in life? You can't always get what you want. But what do you want most in your life? What do you really want? Something temporary or something that is eternal? Let me ask you a question. Did you rather have money or did you rather have a crown of life? Have you rather had the accolades of men and the praise of mankind, or had you rather have the praise and the glory and the honor of being in heaven with Christ when life is over here? I was driving down the road the other day and I saw a license plate. And the license plate cover just simply said, "I want it all, and I want it now." And their attitude was, "Don't make me wait, because I want what I want." Doesn't that sound like a little child? But aren't we childish at times? Aren't we really? Do you know a lot of things in life are temporary? pain is temporary. It is. We all have pains at times, but pain is temporary, but victory in Christ is something that will last forever and forever. One man told me one time that his favorite passage of Scripture in all the Bible is where Jesus said it came to pass. Because you know why? All your worries and your hardships and the things of this world are temporary. You don't have to live with it forever and forever and ever. One day it will all be over. It will come to pass. It will. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul said that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, the reason Paul said that is the fact that a lot of people say, well, you know, if there all there is just Jesus here, then, you know, what is there beyond this world? That's why Paul says, if in this life only you have hope, my hope transcends this world. It does. I am interested in things that are eternal and what we often refer to as eternal rewards. That's what I'm interested in. But when we talk about temporary things, think about this just a moment. When we talk about temporary things, what are temporary things? What do you consider to be temporary things? Let me share with you this morning a few things that I really believe, according to the Bible, convey unto us that they themselves are temporal. Some may sound a little strange to you. Did you know that the law of Moses is a temporal thing? Let me illustrate. In the Old Testament, believe it or not, the law of Moses was given not to Gentiles. It wasn't given to everyone like the law of Christ. But it was given to the children of God. That is the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. And it was only given for a period of time. If you were to open your Bible, you would find that there is a section that is called the Old Testament. And a section that is called the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament was a law that God gave to His people, believe it or not, 4,000 years ago. He had, first of all, what they call the patriarchal law, and God actually spoke to the heads of families. And by the way, the word patriarch means father. But then He gave unto Moses the law when Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive that law. And He came back down finally the second time and revealed it unto the people of God. And they were to subscribe and live by that law all the days of their life. But the time came when God said the old law must go. And the Bible in the book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 says that Jesus, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances was against us, which was contrary to us, He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And so let me tell you something, folks, and I'm not here to bust your bubble here this morning, but I want to tell you something that a lot of people do not understand. A lot of people believe that we even now are living under what we call the Decalogue or the Old Testament. Have you ever heard some people say, well, you know, as long as we keep the Ten Commandments, then we're going to go to heaven. Tell me in the Word of God where Jesus or the Lord God of heaven ever said such. He didn't. Matter of fact, these laws do not even belong to you. God didn't give them to you. He didn't give them to me. But it was to the nation of Israel. Christians do not live under the Ten Commandments. They don't live under the law of Moses because the law of Moses was temporal in nature. We don't live under the Old Testament. But when I think about, secondly, the apostles of Jesus, I understand that they were temporal. Now, the reason I mention that is the fact that there are some people today that still believe that they are apostles. I ran into a man not long ago, and he referred to himself as the apostle. Now, I won't name his last name. But he referred to himself as an apostle, and I said, "You really believe that you're an apostle?" And he said, yes, I believe in apostolic succession. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that God does not have apostles today. He doesn't. The apostles were chosen by Jesus Christ to preach to the known world in their day. They did. And they accomplished that great task. And when you go to the book of Colossians, you'll find out that they accomplished that mission of preaching the gospel of Christ to the known world in their time. They served their purpose. They accomplished the will of God. Now, Jesus gave the apostles tremendous power. For Jesus said unto them, I will give you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions, and think about this, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, that was not a promise that God made to me. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I go step on a scorpion somewhere, it's going to hurt. Matter of fact, one day out in the activity building, I was walking through the corridor there, and I looked down and I saw this little thing rolled up, and I really thought it was just one of those roly-poly bugs. What do they call them? Pill bug. Yeah, boy, there's somebody that knows what they're talking about. Anyway, I thought that's what it was. I reached down there and picked that thing up, and here came that little stinger out. Meow. I put him down real quick. That was when I realized that I was not an apostle. But God said to the apostles, I'll give you power over scorpions and over serpents and all the power of the enemy, and nothing by shall any means hurt you. You see, Jesus empowered the apostles to do a lot of things. But the mission of the apostles was temporary. Their mission on earth was accomplished. And they all died. Every one of them. Temporary. Now, let me get into something here that's very sensitive with people. And that is the subject of spiritual gifts. Do you realize that spiritual gifts were temporary? Let me illustrate. If you were to go back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through chapter 14, you would find that the Apostle Paul talks about a number of spiritual gifts that were given. It's not like that, like the gift of salvation or the gift of eternal life or the gift of the Holy Spirit in that measure to us today, or the gift of God's Word. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about special gifts that were given to the apostles and to those upon whom they laid their hands. They had what they call the gift of knowledge. It was a supernatural knowledge that came from Almighty God. There was the ability to speak in an unknown language in which they'd never studied. We call it the unknown tongue. Paul mentions that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. When he talked about the fact that when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. They had the power to heal. They had the power to raise the dead, but all of it ended with the last apostle. All those spiritual gifts ended. For in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, we read that those spiritual gifts were not meant to last forever, only until the completed word of God was to come. But now we've got a lot of people today that are claiming to have those powers to speak in an unknown language and someone else interpret it. The Bible doesn't teach that, folks. That is not a gift that God has given unto you or me or anyone else. It is not. There are a lot of things that the early church had. The gift of knowledge, the gift of faith. It was a supernatural faith, the gift of healing. They could go to your bedside and raise you up from your illness. They didn't even have to pray about it. The gift of prophecy, to be able to foretell the future. The gift of speaking in tongues. Or the interpretation of tongues, which was a gift itself. or the gift of spiritual discernment that was beyond the comprehension of mortal man. And then the gift of a miracle. They could do all kinds of things. Matter of fact, the apostles came back to Jesus one time and said, you know what, even the evil spirits respond to us. And Jesus says, listen, it is much better that your name is written in heaven than that evil spirits respond to you. We can't receive the gifts that were given to the apostles because they were not given unto us. The written word has come. Paul made it clear in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. You see, they had all kinds of gifts of the Spirit to cause people to believe. For instance, they didn't have the written word like we have it. And so if someone was sick, they would go out and heal them to get people to believe in Jesus. If someone didn't believe in Christ, they might speak in an unknown tongue in which they'd not studied, and someone would interpret it and tell others what they were saying. Or they could even go out to the cemetery and raise the dead to get them to believe in Jesus. But the Bible doesn't teach that we have those kinds of powers today, but we have the written word of God. Those were in parts, but now, he says, we have the word. That which is in part shall be done away. So spiritual gifts were temporary. Now this is going to blow your mind, but I want you to follow what I'm telling you this morning. Do you realize that even the reign of Jesus Christ is temporary? Now you'll probably say, wait a minute. What are you talking about? The reign of Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords is temporary. Let me tell you why I know that. When Paul writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15, 24, he says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, that's Jesus going to deliver it up, to God, even the Father, when he, that is Jesus, shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. Does that sound to you, it does to me, like Jesus is going to put down all rule and all power and all authority when he presents the church back to God who gave it? And in the book of Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that when we die and when we're judged of God, if we get to go to heaven, we're going to be joint heirs with Christ in heaven. Now that doesn't mean that Christ is of any lesser degree the Son of Almighty God. But Christ came here for the purpose, as David mentioned a moment ago very appropriately, to die for us that we might go to heaven. He fulfilled his role, and now he is interceding for us in heaven. And the Bible in the book of Matthew 28, verse 18 says that Christ claimed it, that all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. It all belongs to him right now. But the time is coming when he is going to cease to reign over the church. He's going to give that reign back to God. And he's going to put down all authority and all power and dominion. But right now, Jesus is Lord. And no matter who is president or who's ruling in North Korea or anywhere else, Jesus is Lord of heaven and of earth. He is. I like the words of Revelation 19:16 that says, King Jesus. Now listen to it. John writes this in that revelatory letter, and he says, King Jesus is written on his robe and on his thigh. He has the name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I can tell you most assuredly this morning that Jesus is King of kings and that He is Lord of lords. He is. And all authority belongs to Him at this moment. There is no authority for anyone in Rome, the pontiff, or anyone else, folks, to augment, to delineate, to change, to ameliorate anything at all from that Word of God that was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there is no greater authority in all of this world at this moment than the authority that is given unto Christ. For He claims to have all authority in heaven and on earth. But tragically, many reject His authority. And in the book of John 12 and verse 48, the Bible says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word, hath one that judgeth him, and the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So the reign of Christ is temporal, temporary. Now, there are a lot of people that believe contrary, but fifthly, the earth is temporal. It is, right now. The earth is winding down. Now, I don't believe in global warming. Al Gore believes in it, or he did believe in it. Matter of fact, old Al thinks he came up with the concept. But I'm telling you, folks, I don't believe in global warming. You know why I don't believe in global warming? Because God said as long as the earth remains, there is seed time and harvest. I've talked to a lot of meteorologists, different places, and every one of them say that the concept of global warming is ridiculous. But the earth is temporal. For in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also shall be burned up. Listen to 2 Peter 3 and verse 11. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. It's going to happen. And he says, "Seeing that all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" The earth is winding down. And Jesus said to His disciples that this heaven and earth will pass away, but My word will not pass away. It will last forever. That's what Christ said. But let me tell you something else. Man's earth life, even though people believe they're going to live forever, folks, let me tell you something. Man's earth life is temporal. It is. For the book of Hebrews 9:27 says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. The judgment. If you turned your television on this morning and you were watching for late breaking news, and you can't see that on Fox News right now because they're in a dispute with Dish Network. And so if you're a Dish subscriber, you have to turn over to CNN. This morning, I flipped over to CNN. Breaking news. Air Asia flight 8501 plunges into the Java Sea with 162 on board, 155 and 7 crew members. That plane took off last evening from Indonesia, en route to Singapore. Little did they know that when they left that terminal, that it would be terminal. Little did they know that their life would come to an end before that plane would land again. They could tell you about the brevity of life. They could help you understand about what it meant when Paul says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. You see, the scripture says, as in Adam all die, and in Christ shall all be made alive. The end is coming. It is. The end is coming. The clock of life is winding down. Someone said the clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at later early hour. So live in love and toil with the will and place no faith in tomorrow, for the hands may then be still. Life is temporary. And since it is temporary, let me ask you a question. What are you living for? Why are you living? We need to remember that God's word is the final authority in life. And that you and I someday will be judged by an eternal God for all that we have done with our life here. That's why you and I should always be set for the defense of the gospel of Christ. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17. One thing that is not temporal, however, is the love of God. It is not a throwaway thing. It's not. God loves you, and that's not temporal. If Jesus is coming again, and He is, are you ready to meet your God? You see, many people today are waiting for salvation in their final hour. And you know what? God knows whether or not in that last hour that you will obey Him. The clock is ticking down. And you know what? God knows in your final hour when you claim you want to become a Christian as to whether or not you want to become a Christian because you love God, or simply that you want to escape the horrors of an eternal hell and you want to live your life in pleasure right up to the last moment. Just how much longer do you have left? How much? That's why the Bible says that you and I have to prepare for the eternal. You don't wait. You want to be prepared when Christ comes again or when your life ends. In order to do that, you must read the Word of God or hear it. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord, Romans 10 and verse 17. And let that Word sink so deeply in your mind and in your heart that you believe it. You believe it with all of your heart. And you confess the sweetest name that has ever blessed heaven and earth. That's the name of Jesus. The song says there's something about that name. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The And upon your confession of faith, you would have a penitent attitude that says, I want to change. I want to amend my ways. I want to get right with God. I want a reconciliation with the Father. And I'm willing then to be baptized in order that that reconciliation might take place. I'm willing to yield myself to be buried in water, that the blood of Christ may touch me and cleanse me of all my sin. Acts 2 and verse 38. I have come to the conclusion that as death draws near, there is one thing that we want and we cannot have. And that is time. More sand in the clock. More minutes. Hours. We're at the end of a year, the year 2014. And you know, maybe last year you talked about becoming a Christian, and your response was not now, but later. Well, let me tell you, the later has become now. What you call later is now. It's true. And tomorrow might be too late. Could be. Don't let this year, 2014, end without getting right with God. For to continue to postpone your obedience to Christ and refusing to become a Christian, or if need be, to rededicate your life unto Jesus, the Son of God, might be a lost opportunity forever. Forever. You may walk out of this building this morning with never an opportunity to do the thing that you know in your heart this morning you need to do. Something could engulf you before nightfall that would keep you from doing what you know at this moment you want to do. Opportunity gone. You can change your life. It's amazed me sometimes how just one person can change the course of this world and the lives of many. Someone said that one song can spark a moment. One flower can wake a dream. One tree can start a forest. One bird can herald spring. One smile begins a friendship. One hand clasp lifts a soul. One star can guide a ship at sea. One word can frame the goal. One vote can change a nation. One sunbeam lights a room. One candle wipes out darkness. And one laugh can conquer gloom. One step must start each journey. One word must start each prayer. One hope can raise our spirits. And one touch can show you care. One voice can speak with wisdom. One heart can know what's true. One laugh can make a difference. You see, it's up to you. This morning, if you believe in Christ and you've been putting off making that decision to serve the Lord, why would you let this year, 2014, come to an abrupt end? And it will in just a few days. And something happened and then for you to live with regret eternally when you can make it right with God this morning while we stand and while we sing.